Hey, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and good night. Juan Epstein, well, just Epstein. I don't know where Sife's in London or something. But Saha the Prince is here.
Yes.
What's
yes.
cracking, Saha?
What's going on, Rosen?
How are you, man?
I'm great, man. I'm great.
You have my favorite song out.
Right, right. I heard, man.
That new Africa, bro.
Oh, man, I appreciate you. Everything you're doing for this. This waitress had one of the best strip clubs out here. Was like, I heard your song. I was like,
yeah, oh, we've been playing it. Oh, and I know, by the way, of course the waitress at the strip club will play it because me and Ebro play it like 6 in the morning.
Right.
So they probably hear it on the way home.
Right, on the way home, right.
Yeah. But it's just, I mean, it's funny because, you know, you hear a lot of good songs, and there's a lot of, a lot more good hip-hop than people realize.
Right.
And a lot more sort of aware, conscious hip-hop than people realize. Mm-hmm. But what makes that record awesome is not only the content, but the way that it moves, like if it, and it's weird too because in some way it feels so 91, but in another way it feels good though, because what these days when people try to replicate old shit,
right?
I don't like it,
right.
But your shit, just the second we all heard it individually.
Mm-hmm.
So, first of all, who produced that record?
S1 and Epic. So you know, S1 is one of the best. To me, one of the best producers I've ever worked with. You know, he did, the one who did Power. And you see how that's just still being, you know what I mean?
Shit moves. Yeah, his shit has there's a certain bump to it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So where you been? Let's catch up a little bit. Mm-hmm. Obviously, people knew you were rocking with Kanye.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone who kind of joins the good music fold instantly sort of explodes.
Mm-hmm.
There's all kinds of conversation.
Right.
And then you sort of ended up feeling like it. You separated a bit and ended up like the indie route. So just let's start at the beginning, as far as when we first started to get to know you.
Mm-hmm.
Where did the beginning of the Kanye relationship start? What were you doing? How did that begin?
Well, I was actually working on some mixtape stuff, and you know, man, it's just been at that time me being so different and unorthodox for my city. You know,
Where exactly are you from?
I'm from Atlanta, born and raised.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Woodridge is my elementary school. You know, a lot of niggas say they're from Atlanta, they can't tell you the elementary school.
Woodridge.
Yeah, so. All right. So, you know, I was just doing hip hop, but a lot of people I was working with, they wanted me to do, like, you know, Atlanta trap stuff, and I was just more of a, you know, hip-hop guy. That's just how I came up, far as battle rapping against, you know, New York dudes who came out of school. That's kind of how I learned how to rap. So, you know, trying to carve my craft, coming better than them, I just started on the hip-hop path. And then, you know, I end up doing a record with Yella Wolf at that time. And, you know, we put a video out. And
which record was it?
I Wish a Motherfucker Would.
Oh, you were on I Wish? I didn't even remember that you were on I Wish. That's
exactly
how it started?
Yeah, that's
that
how
record
it started.
Was flames,
uh-huh,
bro.
Uh-huh.
I miss that Yella Wolf. I don't know if he still makes records like that, but that record was so goddamn hard, bro.
Every time I used to perform it at a show, it used to go up. So I knew what the impact was. But, you know, I did that record, and Ye was, you know, this back when he had the little Tumblr thing. He was just online looking for inspiration for My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy. And then he ran across my mixtape, and, you know, he seen the video and was like, yo, this is the hardest rap I ever heard. And then he came and heard my mixtape, and then that's when I got a call from No ID, you know. They asked me to come to Hawaii.
Let's just start there for a second.
Uh-huh.
What the fuck is that like when you're a real hip-hop head,
right,
and you get a phone call that Kanye wants you to come to Hawaii to work with him?
Man, you know, the crazy thing, right, the week before, like 4 days before, I was supposed to sign with Jeezy. Like, a lot of people don't know that.
Wow.
Yeah, so I had to flew to Miami for one day to sign, do a deal with Jeezy.
So he was aware, too. He was up on it.
Yeah. Everybody's up on it, you know what
they
mean?
They knew.
Yeah,
Atlanta knew what time it was.
Everybody knows what time it is. It's just, you know, me, I mean, you know, I just don't conform that well to, you know, other people's
suggestions. So you had to find the situation that made the most sense.
Right. So when I was with Jeezy, we was in the studio for like 3 nights, and then last night, he didn't show up, and we had to leave. And we never got the deal done because he didn't show up. And then 3 days later, Ye called me. So I fly down to Hawaii. No ID called Greg Street, and that's how I got on phone.
Oh, okay.
You know what I'm saying? And when
some
I
good
walk,
old Atlanta shit. Phone call to Greg Street. Greg Street finds you. All
right. Right. Because Greg Street is like the person that I owe my whole career to.
Really?
Yes.
Well, he started playing you?
Yeah, he just started playing it. Started, you know, telling everybody who I was. You know, I had independent records. I was the first one playing them. You know what I mean? Telling everybody I was the best rapper in Atlanta.
Wow.
You know
so he just saying? Jumped out.
Yeah, he just jumped out the window. So
that's dope. Shout out to Greg Street.
Yeah, yeah. So as I started doing that, I walked in the studio and Kanye was playing my whole mixtape. And after that, it just was like, you know, after that, it was, you know, it is what it is. So, you know, we just.
So what did you do out there? You got right into Dark Twisted Fantasy?
Well, the crazy thing is, this is when he was dealing with Amber. So when I got there, they was playing all my music, and I'm, like, super excited. But he was like, yo, I got to go on a date. You know what I mean? So he had to take Amber.
I've heard about that.
You know what I mean? So well, he was like, can you write a hook to Soul Paul for me? So I was just like, okay, you know, I'll try something. So I got to writing a hook. But then it was like, I was so excited, I couldn't go to sleep. Because it was, like, the dream of my life. I was like, yo, engineer, just move me to the back of the song, like, 5 minutes to the back, and let me write a verse. So I write a verse at the like 5-6 minutes or so he would not hear it. I just wanted to write something. And I guess when I left, him and Beyonce and Jay-Z was in the studio. I think it was Dream as well. And my verse, I guess he kept the beat playing for, you know, just talking over the beat like, Jay, this is what I want to do on this one.
And then you came on, they're like,
my verse
who's rapping
abruptly
on?
Come in. And they're like, who the fuck is this? And then when it went off, Beyonce was just like, you know, whoever that is, you need to sign them yesterday before breakfast. And that's how I got here.
Wow. And that verse, in my opinion, that's my favorite Kanye album of all time. Mm-hmm. And that's probably my favorite song on my favorite Kanye album.
And I had the best verse on it. You don't even have to say it.
And then your verse.
Think about this. They all wrote their verses after me.
Really?
Good luck.
Yeah, you went hard, my friend. You went hard. So that obviously, so people start. Now, did you write on other records on that album?
Yeah, but on that album, I didn't really take the writer's credit, like I said, like I would have, because he put me on the album. So I never even thought about.
So you helped out in other spots, but you didn't get writing credit on the spot.
Yeah, because I was just like, yo, you put me on the album. I was just thinking I was just here. I was just giving vibes.
And that was enough.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, you put me on some of my favorite rapper in the world, Jay-Z.
Yeah, like, yeah, yeah. You lit.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
So then what happens after the album?
Well, the thing was, you know, I was in a bad situation at Def Jam. And the crazy thing is, I was, before Kanye knew me, I was already signed to Def Jam. Like, a lot of people don't know that.
Oh, I know. I didn't
know
that.
So I was signed through a guy, and we, you know, it was a Booth Thiam.
Okay.
Akon's brother.
All right. Okay.
And, you know, he was just, you know, doing a lot, not really focusing on the artist that he had under the label. By him being the VP, he was just, you know, doing the finagling. And
then people get signed, and then they get caught up with other stuff, and then you ended up sitting.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, a lot of my budgets was getting messed up, so I was just super frustrated. So I was, that's why I was trying to give it like a Jeezy or somebody who had power in the building to be able to get me out the situation. But, you know, it never worked out. So when I got with Ye was like, yo, let's try to work this situation out. But until then, you know, help me with some of these, you know, songs and collabs and different things that I'm doing. So I just went full-fledged into that, because that was building my cachet to be able to fight the powers that be.
And that was the right, was the right plan. That makes perfect sense.
Yeah, so, you know, after I had got enough cachet, got enough pub money that I could just put the certain lawyers on certain things, that's when my situation started moving. But a lot of people didn't know that, because I was such a prolific rapper that, no, Def Jam's never did nothing for me. Like, it's always just been me and my manager, like a little role manager guy. So now that it just, you know, it was tough for me. Like, everybody heard my mixtapes and different things like that, but I could never put out a real album or nothing, because the people that had my situation, then Boo gets fired or whatever, leaves, and then a new regime of people come and they don't know who I really am, because L.A. Reid left. Because I got signed under the L.A. Reid, you know, regime. So at the end of the day, I just had to get out of that situation, and now I'm out of it.
So you got out of it.
Yeah, I'm out of it.
And then what happened? How's the Kanye relationship?
Oh, it's great. It's great.
It seemed like you guys always stayed cool. It didn't. Yeah. It just seemed like you sort of started working on your own stuff.
I mean, you know, I'm just, at the end of the day, like, that's my big bro, you know what I mean? Like I said, a lot of people don't know that I'm not very involved with Watch the Throne. I was very involved with My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy, Yeezus, all the way to Pablo. So,
Even around some for Pablo stuff too.
Yeah, I wrote on every record on Pablo.
Wow.
Yeah.
So that was an interesting process. That album, I swore the way he rolled it out was going to make me hate that album. I was like, this is a mess. I don't know what's happening. Why is it so confusing? And then when I heard it, I was like, damn, and it's still good. Like, it was still really good.
You know, Ye, man, he's just, he's figuring out how to push the culture forward. Yeah. He's not more so on, you know, excuse me, he's not more so on like, you know, just trying to do something that he knows he can do. You know what I mean? He just want to do different things that see how far he could push the culture. So into different genres or whatnot. So yeah, that was a great process, Pablo. But that's basically my story. You know, I was doing a lot of writing to get out of, while I had the lawyers and people getting out of these situations. But the thing is, everybody knew how important I was to him, so they didn't want to let me go at the same time.
Of course.
But they didn't want to put my album out because they needed me to do what I need to do for him. You know what I mean? So many
words. You're stuck in limbo.
Yeah, until it's just you got like out. Everybody's...
Well, so, and that takes us to now. So where are you now?
Right now, I'm on my own. I'm at Sony Indie, but...
So what does that mean? Sony handles distribution?
Yeah, it's just distribution. And I'm working with Al Branch and G Robus on the management side, also with Fly. You might know him for TIG. I'm from Atlanta, so he runs he got Rich Homie Quan, he had Trinidad, he had Lucci right now. So.
Oh wow, okay.
Yeah, yeah. So,
you have a strong management team in place.
Mm-hmm.
But you're not signing a deal.
Yeah, I mean, I got a deal, but it's an indie
distribution. It's an indie distribution deal.
Yeah,
you don't want a full label deal.
No, not like that. Unless, you know, they come with the right bag. You know,
right, have to be the biggest bag.
Yeah,
well, did you hear like bag. Did you see the Chappelle thing on Instagram yesterday that was going around?
But I heard about it.
Yeah, him saying that everyone loved it. 'Cause it was just a great analogy or whatever. What's the other word? Not analogy, but he basically explains that his situation with Comedy Central was like a baboon. Baboons love salt. And they would try to trap baboons by laying out the salt, and the baboon would reach into a hole or whatever to grab the salt. The salt would make their hand swell, and they couldn't get their hand out. And if all they have to do is let go, and if they let go of the salt, they can let their hand will come out and be free. But they won't let go of the salt, so their hand won't come out, right? I know it's deep. It's fucking great. And he was saying, but once and so then they get trapped. And once they get trapped, they'll give the baboon as much salt as they want. But like they're in captivity.
Yeah, they're in captivity.
But once they go down to water, if the baboon just goes to water, the captor will follow him and they'll all drink. And he's like, I was the baboon and I was able to let go of the salt. And now, as you see, he waited all these years. He got the Netflix money.
Exactly.
The money still came after him.
Exactly.
But he got to do exactly what he wanted to do.
Exactly.
And now, listen, for anyone listening, I do think to play that game, you better know you're as fucking good as Dave Chappelle.
Exactly.
You can't just do it. Because some people, if you get offered a deal, you might be like, I don't want to be trapped.
Right.
And I might be able to hear your music and be like, bro, you might want to just take that deal. You know what I mean? You have to be at a certain level to be confident enough. But Chappelle, I thought it was really cool.
Mm-hmm.
So... it's an interesting thought for artists in general, because being indie, it can allow you a certain level of opportunity if you can take advantage of it, particularly if you have a management team in place.
Exactly. And you're as good as I am.
And that's facts.
Yes.
And this song, I think everyone always knew your level of talent and writing. And have you always been in, like, New Africa is a very right now song. It's very progressive. It's very back to Africa. It really speaks to the fucking crazy world that we're living in right now.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what a lot of your shit is on right now? Or is that just the zone you were in for this record?
That was just the zone I was in for that record. You know, me, it's just the thing about me, I can't write if I don't have a concept. I'm not one of them guys who could just go put words together. Like, you know, most of these guys just have a luxury of using every word in the dictionary because it has no truth to it. Everything I write has a truth to it or comes from a place where, you know, I always, you know, my perspective or how I feel about certain things. So, you know, when I was writing that record, it was like, you know, the TV was on the news and all my friends are going crazy about what's going on because it's not like Trump being in office doesn't affect me, but it affects everybody around me. So I just thought about like, yo, you know, it's a place that has more resources, has more land, has more, you know, opportunity if we brought all our education and everything that we've learned and, you know, the things that we've modernized and built over here, we could take it over there. Shit, all the trappers, all the rappers. If LeBron say, hey, I'm only playing in Nigeria, figure it out. You know,
it'll get
saying?
Figured out.
Yeah, it'll get figured out real fast. It'll be some TV contract. Hey, we need to go to Nigeria. So it's just that fast. If y'all, I mean, nobody, y'all don't want to really do nothing.
And so that's what
y'all don't really want to do nothing. You know what I mean?
We talk about it.
Yeah, we talk about it, but y'all don't really want to do nothing.
Yeah, do you really want to? Is that what you're trying to do?
Yeah, so cut it out.
That's it, bro. It came off as so. Who were the you talked about battle rap and things like that, but who were the rap artists that you were really into as a kid?
My first favorite rapper was Mystical. That was my first favorite. He was the coldest ever.
Coldest. At his best. By the way, for the record, when he signed to Cash Money again like 2 years ago, he put out one record, mm-hmm. and the shit was so hard. Mm-hmm. Nothing happened with it. It was so hard. I was like, oh, Mystical still got it, bro. But I respect that because he's Mystical.
So Mystical's my first favorite rapper. Then it was Jay-Z. Once I heard Jay, I knew. Because what happened was a lot of New York cats start migrating to the South, to Atlanta, but it was a certain part. I'm from Stone Mountain, Decatur. So this is where a lot of them was moving to. So they took over our school like that. Like far as like the battle rap, like rapping in the, you know, in the side of the hall.
Well, just from New Yorkers being around, just regular New Yorkers. Yeah, you just would move down there.
I was like, our dudes from my school, like my friends would get embarrassed by them. Like they would embarrass us. So, you know, I took about 3 months off and
Let me take a look at what's going on.
And then I went and sat down for 3 months and then I came back and nobody in Atlanta could ever rap better than me after that.
And so so you realized the style that they were playing with was a different one.
Yeah, because, you know, I was used to being in club listening to MJG, 8-Balls, you know, your masterpiece. But it was like when I was hearing these 12-year-olds sound like 21-year-old men, I was like, oh, this real rap right here.
Well, can I tell you what? And that's why I'm thinking of this right now. But that's why the best kind of rapper that I think maybe can exist is an Atlanta rapper with some New York influence.
Exactly.
Because you get the soul and the swag and the vibe of Atlanta with the wordplay and the skill. I mean, honestly, it's Outkast. It's so many people who put in that work because they love all kinds of music. They didn't just grow up on Southern music, but they still lived in the South. They still got that energy.
Exactly. And a lot of people don't know, man, if it wasn't for prison, that's what made T.I. one of the greatest rappers for a long stretch. If he wouldn't have went to prison, he'll still be, if not one of the greatest or top rappers. You know what I mean? Because he had the Atlanta swag, but he can go bar for bar with any New York or, you know, it was swagger like us. If you see.
By the way, and even back then, I remember when King came out.
Oh, exactly.
I was like, oh, well, this is T.I.'s just, he's just an MC like I always loved with an amazing Southern draw.
Exactly.
Like that, he was just on, he was one of the first. Because Outkast, I almost don't even count because they sort of like predate even the true Atlanta movement.
Mm-hmm.
But in that later, you know, next movement of the T.I.'s, Jeezy's, et cetera's, mm-hmm. yeah, T.I. was, he was different.
Like, that's what made Wayne prolific as well. You know, being from the South, but still being able to rap. You know what I mean? And then, you know, a lot of times I hear y'all talk about how Atlanta is, and you're like me, you're absolutely right. You know what I'm saying? But a lot of people don't know why Atlanta sounds like it is. The reason why Atlanta sounds like it is because, you know, our trap make a lot of money. You know what I mean? And it's different than being in New York or L.A. where if you're from Brooklyn, you can't really go make no money in Queens. You can't make no money in the Bronx. You know what I mean? You can't make no money. You can just make money in Brooklyn.
Right.
Where in Atlanta, if you're from the east side, you can make money on the west side, the south side. You can make money to everybody. And that's how they get so rich to be able to influence the clubs, the radio, the streets, to the point where it don't have to be quality music. If you put it down in the street how you did prior to rap, anybody could be a rapper in Atlanta.
Wow, I never even thought about
that. Yeah. That's what it is. These guys are the really street dudes you probably gonna meet in these neighborhoods. They not prolific artists. They got their rep from, you know, doing what they did in the street.
They got some, and they got love all over Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
So as a result, once they put out music,
it ain't no problem. You know what I'm
everyone's already on board
versus
with it.
Just being in Brooklyn. You can only like really conversate and move with Brooklyn dudes. You know what I mean?
Who's out right now is that you really fuck with? Is anyone out there that you really stylistically think is doing something special?
Are you talking about from Atlanta
general,
or just in general? You know, I don't listen to a lot of rap, bro. You know what I'm saying? Because some rappers, like, you know, for instance, like Drake, he's so good that if you listen to him too long, you'll start to be influenced by him.
Right.
So I just listen to, like, country and R&B.
What kind of country you listen to?
My favorite country artist right now is Valerie June.
I don't even know Valerie June. Is that old or?
She's the coldest. She's new.
New.
She's like the black Dolly Parton. If you ever have a chance, she's from Nashville, but she be
how popping is she right now?
Oh, she's incredible. She's out right now.
But is she like blowing up?
Yeah, she's blowing up.
And country is like country music
like country
on it?
Country folk music. Yeah, she's in, like, it's next level.
All right,
yeah,
all right.
So I listen to her.
I've kind of been waiting for the black woman country artist
takeover. When you hear her, she's going to change your life. Oh, she's going to change your life. Forget about it. Trust me.
That's very exciting. I'm excited to hear this right now. All right, all right. So yeah. What else?
I like a new guy from my city, J.I.D. Jid. He's with, he just got signed to J. Cole. Who else I like? You know, I'm more of a traditional guy. You know what I'm saying? I listen to, you know, the Coles.
Kendrick.
Yeah, Kendrick's. You know what I mean? I don't, like, I love Joey Badass.
Yeah.
Like, I love
I just heard Joey's album's dropping soon, and I'm hearing it's incredible.
Yes, I love Joey.
Have y'all connected ever?
No, but I mean, we met a couple times, but we, you know, we need to connect. But I love him though.
Yeah, he's special.
You know what I'm saying? Because I use him for a lot of arguments.
What about music?
Yeah, just like, you know, labels just think like our artists are just the shit because, you know, we get a little show money and give it to our partner and make him turn 40 into 100. You know what I'm saying? When you see some guys like Kendrick and stuff, they just go home to their wives. You know what I mean?
It's a different thing.
Yeah, it's a different thing.
Well, and a lot of like there was a lot of confusion here about that because. People, you know, because here, strip club, as a result of Atlanta, strip clubs have become really big up here.
Exactly.
And you would just say, you were just at one. So when you take a Joey, at first, like I remember when Troy Ave tried to come for Joey, he was like, you're not hot in the clubs. And I was like, bro, he's getting tour money.
Exactly.
He's going, you don't get it. He doesn't do clubs. He literally is Joey bought his mom a house.
Yeah.
Joey made over seven figures already. Like, so he was going, he was already touring. Now, granted, it's a different thing. Now, Troy had the right to have his aspiration to be hot in the club.
Right.
That's a different sort of aspiration.
But you know what I tell
people? But that real show money's different.
Mm-hmm.
That's fan-based money.
Exactly. I tell people all the time, if you don't go to that club that night, that club's still going to be open. We still going to have the waitresses. We still going to have the dancers. Everything will still flow. Everybody from the neighborhood going to come to this club, rather walk a flock of here tonight or he ain't in here tonight. But it's a difference when that theater over there it's closed. And the only way you're going to open it, and if Ticketmaster lets you. How many tickets can you sell?
Okay. That's a great way of putting
it. Well, figure it out. I show up at that club any day, and the same people are going to be in there, regardless if you're going to be there or not.
That's such a great way of putting it. So, like, so you can get a bag because the club is happy, because they're going to make money anyway. Like,
yeah.
So they're happy to give you a bag.
Yeah, that's the name
and
of
now,
the club.
And now, you know, this is funny. So from my perspective, I got to see this from another side, which is I signed with an agency, and I would watch the agency who has rappers. Like, I'm on their talent side, but they have rappers, right? And I would watch how frustrated they get because they had certain artists they were trying to get tours for, but these artists kept going out to get bags. And they're like, if you keep chasing bags in the club, I can't give you the tour money.
Exactly.
So stop going and getting these bags on your own. Now, granted, they want their piece, too. And the rappers are getting bags and putting them in their own pocket.
Right.
They're like, no, let me get my 10% and let me get you this real money.
Money, exactly.
Sell these tickets. Show that you could tour. Yo, I saw, last night I was at wrestling, and on my way up, I saw Juice from Flatbush Zombies sitting there. And he was like, man, this is my first year home. This time of year, Flatbush Zombies tours every year.
Exactly.
And they're getting paid every year.
Exactly.
They're not in clubs collecting bags. You call it weirdo rap, call it whatever you want.
Mm-hmm.
They have a fan base. They get festivals, and they get touring every single year.
Exactly.
And that's an amazing opportunity. Like when I was first getting into music, an artist of a Flatbush Zombies level wouldn't have really been able to live.
Mm-hmm.
They would have gotten signed. They would have gotten $100,000 up front.
Mm-hmm.
They would have put out a single and had a video that got spun a little bit on Rhapsody or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then by the time their album came out, it would have sold a few thousand copies. They'd fade away. And I can name 50 rap groups from the 90s whose first album was good.
Mm-hmm.
And I liked the album.
Right.
And nothing ever happened again.
Exactly.
And they're considered just, what? Oh, remember them? Ha, ha, ha. Now if you're at that level and you stay indie, you could start getting these shows out here, and like you could blow up. Like if you could luck into a hit and become a megastar, or you could just keep making the music you're making and still be rich doing it,
exactly,
without having to go chase shit.
Exactly. I tell people all the time, man, stripper bitches ain't A&R in my project.
Well, that makes you different
you know
than
what
90%
yeah,
of what's going
real
on.
Real people. I do music for real people. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not a weekend rapper. I'm not a Friday and Saturday rapper. I'm a Sunday through Thursday. when shit go down, you know what I'm saying? When your dough get kicked in, when your mother have an illness, you know what I'm saying? When you shooting it out with your rival, you know what I'm saying? When you bailing your partner out of jail. Those are the things that make niggas celebrate on Friday and Saturday. You know what I mean? So that's what I rap about. I go to the club and turn up with their music.
That is such.
You know what I'm saying? I be in there.
Hey, this is nice. This is good.
You know what I'm saying?
It's so funny. Exactly. It's so funny. I was with by the way, and just like you probably feel, I like a bunch of it. I enjoy
it, that's
right?
What I'm saying. Yeah.
But I was in the car with my friend, and he turns on, I guess it was Rap Caviar maybe or something, and he's playing it. It went through like maybe 5-6 mumble joints in a row. Mm. That individually, if I heard in the club, I fuck with it.
Mm-hmm.
But after 6 in a row, I was like, bro, you're going to have to put on a rap song where I can understand a little bit about what's happening. I don't want to be the old guy, but I'm going to need some song structure.
Right.
I'm going to need a few bars. Right. And you're right. There's nothing wrong with turning up with it and having a great time. And some of it's really good, but it is important that we have that dichotomy.
Exactly. And that's the thing. It's just don't let that overshadow, you know what I mean, what you got going on. Because it's just at the end of the day, like, I don't want to eat McDonald's every day.
Yeah, you want to eat on occasion.
Yeah, I might pull up on the weekend when I'm coming from the club. I need
Hey,
double cheeseburger, whatever the case may be. But on a Tuesday, when my girl at the crib cooking lasagna and, you know, squash and, you know what I'm saying, lamb chop, I want some of that.
Right, something real with nutrition and value.
Exactly.
That's a great way to have it put. By the way, have you heard, I told him about you, so I got to ask you if you've heard him. Have you listened to the Jidenna album?
No, I listened to like 4 records, but I met Jidenna just 2 days ago.
Did he mention that he knew your shit?
He told me something so real, bro.
What'd he say?
He said, man, what you did on that record is what I dedicated my whole life to. He was just like, man, in my eyes, that's one of the top 5, like, you know, I guess Afrocentric records that talk about my country in hip-hop's history, if not the best. Like, he sent me out there for 30 minutes, bro.
Bro, listen, so do you know where this started?
No, I didn't know.
So he came in for an interview the week his album came out.
Mm-hmm.
On my way back from wherever I was that weekend, I think I was at some WWE shit. I was flying back. I was listening to his album, and I was like blown away by his album because he has these songs that are like really deep.
He
probably told you his story.
His story
coming from Africa is crazy. At the same time, I went on DJ Enough's Heavy Hits website, and when I looked on there, and it said New Sahai. And it said Clean. I was like, whenever I see Clean by an artist that I like, let me download it for the show if it's good.
Right.
And it's you, so I'm like, I want to hear what he did. And I heard it, and I went, oh, shit. Not only is this song incredible, this is the perfect accompaniment to what I was already listening to with Jidenna's album.
Right.
So fast forward 3 days later, Jidenna comes in, and me and Syfe did the podcast with him.
Uh-huh.
And I said, put on your headphones. I want to play you something. And I played him New Africa.
Uh-huh.
And I watched him in the moment like, I saw his head explode.
Right.
He heard it.
Exactly.
And he's like, because I told him, and then Ebro 5 minutes earlier in the hallway been like, yo, have you heard this new Sahai record yet? So we both hit him in the head with
it.
I love that it actually affected him that much.
Yes, he seen me, and it touched me, man. Because, you know, me not ever being there, but me growing up around, like I say, I was used to be signed to Akon. So a lot of the Africans in Atlanta know me. And, you know, they run all the clubs. They run all the, you know what I'm saying? So it was just crazy, just me just, you know, I got the idea from Kanye came and did Birthday Bash 1 year, and we had an after party at Compound, and it was with Drake, 2 Chainz, and Ye. But the thing was, Ye walked in there, and, you know, he hasn't been to Atlanta like that.
Yeah, so, I never heard much about Ye in Atlanta.
Yeah, yeah.
That's not that common.
Exactly. So when I took him to the club, he couldn't believe that every regular guy in the club could buy just as many bottles as Drake. He couldn't believe. He was like,
yes.
Yo, bro, this is like modern day Africa. This is what modern day Africa is supposed to be. A bunch of black people with a lot of money. So I was like, man, I kept that in my mind. So about a year later, after like 6 months later, I was in the club one day again, and this African dude came through, and he had 15 girls with him. And when I tell you, it was from the darkest shade to the lightest shade of woman, and they was all from Africa, I was like, that's New Africa. I went home that same night off the goose, off the tree, and wrote a whole song called New Africa, and that's what you guys got.
Yo, and it came out perfect.
Thanks, bro.
Yeah, you got it right with that one. Did you watch the show Atlanta?
Yeah, yeah, definitely, definitely.
What
yeah.
did you, like, I was curious. What did you? How did you? I thought Donald did such a. Do you have you know Donald at all?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We're from the same side of town.
Oh yeah, that's right. He's from right in the same Stone Mountain, right?
Yeah, Stone Mountain. Yep, yep.
So I loved his club episode.
Exactly.
Bro. That club episode is so perfect, and it's funny because honestly, Atlanta. Surprisingly, I've only been to Atlanta a few times. Like I don't have a regular history in Atlanta. Most of my history through it is through knowing other people and interviewing artists from Atlanta and just absorbing the culture. Mm-hmm. I haven't spent that much time there. But that show connoted, there was so much he connoted about Atlanta through the feel of that show.
Exactly.
Like you knew how much he cared about, even on his mixtape. I don't know if you heard his mixtape, that Stone Mountain mixtape, where he did the fake radio promos and shit from Atlanta.
Yeah.
And then the fact that I loved in that speech when he shouted out
Migos
and changed that song, by the way. Mm-hmm. The song was already big.
Exactly.
He sent it to a whole, but the reason he shouted them out was what was important because they epitomized that sound so well.
Exactly, exactly. And you know something that's crazy? You know, him growing up there, a lot of people overlooked him. Or we don't support him as we should. He's a great artist. And it's a lot of artists like Rory, me, that my city's just so trapped out that they just don't honor these individuals. But once he did that and it showed the streets how much power the other side of Atlanta has, now they have to come to us a different way. Now when they hear artists that can rap, they might collab with them. You know what I mean?
It's actually very interesting you say that because Donald's whole thing has always been he rapped. I was listening to his first album the other day.
Crazy.
And he raps about how there are black kids out there like him.
Mm-hmm.
And he's rapping to them.
Yep.
And he's saying, like, you can be nerdy. Mm-hmm. You can be black and from Atlanta and from the hood.
Exactly.
You don't have to be what the culture has dictated is what you look like or act like.
Exactly.
And now as a result, cats feel comfortable and everyone's getting more comfortable accepting all of it. It's a beautiful thing.
It's a beautiful thing.
And yo, Atlanta, let's just be clear, and I say this all the time, Atlanta's run on top of hip hop now is arguably as long as anyone's run has ever been on top of hip hop.
Exactly.
I say this as someone who, like you, worships New York hip hop.
Right, right.
Like
right.
It's the essence of what you do. Mm-hmm. A lot of it, you know, it's the essence of what I love.
Uh-huh.
But you have to be honest when you look at it.
Yeah,
Atlanta's
yeah.
time on top now. You're talking about what? It's like the turn of the century. We're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like close to 20 years.
Exactly. Exactly.
I mean, maybe you could say New York held on maybe till like 03, maybe, but that's still pushing it.
But you know, it's because a lot of it's black owned. See, it's not really a lot of politics in Atlanta music. It's just if you got the bag, if you got the swag, and you got the credibility, it's black owned. So we could push it whenever we want to push this button. We can say whatever we want to say. We can do whatever kind of, it ain't no A&Rs on
it. It also feels like you guys continue to support.
Yeah,
it feels
that
like
too.
There really seem to be. See, New York started dick riding Atlanta.
Right.
So then as a result, the New York artists were lost, and they didn't know what music to put out because they didn't know how to make Atlanta. They didn't get it yet.
Mm-hmm.
Now, finally, years and years later, you get to ASAP.
Right.
And now you have the kids who grew up when Atlanta was running it.
Uh-huh.
So just like you were an Atlanta kid who was influenced by New York, they're New York kids influenced by
Atlanta. Exactly.
And now we're starting to get, and now the shit becomes more global. And everyone's making shit that kind of reflects each other.
Right, right, right.
So so tell people real quick, what's the album plan? What are people going to get from you besides New Africa?
Well, the album plan is, the album name of the album is No Dope on Sundays. As you said, like I told you, you know, Sunday through Thursday is what I rap about. My album is coming in the next 3 months, you know, so anytime now, we're just finalizing the dates, finalizing these final Kanye's clearances and stuff, and we'll be getting it to you guys shortly. To me, it's the greatest hip-hop album you've probably will ever hear.
Oh, that is a strong statement.
No, yes, it is, because I'm rapping about concepts that you've never heard rapped about, but it ain't just, it's the best raps over concepts. Like, damn, I didn't think of that one. Like, damn, I didn't think of this. How did he think the rap from that perspective?
How long have you been working on this specific project?
Probably about a year.
And does this include any other old random stuff that you've had that you loved and didn't put out? It's all new.
Yeah, I write towards, like, I get the theme of my album first, and then I write towards that theme.
And so it has to go with
what you want. It has to go, yeah. It ain't just no random.
So Kanye is on the album.
Yes.
Is there anyone else that you can say is on the album?
Everybody. Pusha T, Sean, Trav, Schoolboy Q, Ty Dolla, like, I have a All-Star line. Because I wanted No Dope on Sunday to be something that I just wasn't running around waving the flag myself with. I have friends that also believe in this.
And it's important, actually, because when you come out indie, mm-hmm. It's important to show strength in the project.
Right,
great to be indie, but if you're indie and you got the features where people mm-hmm. go, oh, this isn't just some random.
Right.
Because, you know, these days you might have an artist you like, but they put out a little project and it's cool, but it just looks like you kind of threw it together.
Right.
You want it to look like we've been waiting for you now for a minute.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean,
exactly.
And people who've kept, and you just, and the fans deserve it.
Uh-huh.
Because they've been rocking with you since, it's been 8 years or whatever it is.
Yep.
And then it's like, oh, when's he fully coming?
Right,
bringing
exactly.
It. So you got to bring that shit.
And you know, I got a lot of favors because I've helped so many people on their projects.
Well, it sounds like that.
I saved all my favors. For all my, like, I've never asked for nothing, a dime, so now.
You said, hey, it's my time. This is it. I need you.
Yes, I need you. And then, oh, no problem, bro. You're super solid.
So wait, do you have a rough, did you already tell me the rough time? No Dope on Sunday.
Yeah, I'm thinking May.
It'll be a summertime out.
Yeah,
we'll be listening to it in the summertime.
Yeah. Definitely. It's just, you know, now I'm just shooting videos at this point. And, you know, I'm about to go on tour with Wayne in April.
So wow.
Yeah, that's a big thing. He was one of the people I looked up to growing up too. Is just being able to just put that vernacular together like he does.
I mean,
incredible. So yeah, that's what we're on this year, and I just think you look forward to this No Dope on Sundays because, like I said, Monday through Thursday, no one's ever rapped about. I mean, one of my favorite rappers did. Nas was a good Monday through Thursday rapper.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying. Reasonable Doubt was a good Monday through Thursday guy. You know what I mean? So. That's
these
what
days,
on.
There's not as much of it.
Yeah,
there's not as much of it.
Yeah,
there's
yeah.
a few doing it.
Yeah, that's why they ain't winning EGOTs.
Right.
I'm about EGOTs. Emmy, Grammy, Oscar, Tonys. Everything else, thanks, but no thanks.
You're going for the big four.
Emmy, Grammy, Oscar, Tony. Only Whoopi Goldberg. Me and her.
Yeah, you know who's on the way?
Who?
Lin Miranda's on the way.
Oh.
He's got the Tonys from Hamilton.
Hamilton. Uh-huh.
He got a Grammy for like soundtrack or whatever.
Oh.
And I don't think he won the Oscar. I think he was up for the Oscar this year for a song he did for Moana. I think
wow.
he was up for it. I don't know if he won. But he's
on the way.
Get,
yeah. That's what
if
I'm
you
saying.
Get if you get Tony and Emmy, you gotta just get either Oscar or Tony out of the way.
Yeah. If you get one of the other ones
you
award,
get, you can get Grammy.
Get yeah,
you can throw out some spoken word album and get your Grammy once you have the other ones.
You're right.
Sahi, thank you for coming by.
Hey man, I appreciate you, man. I mean, you guys do so much for me. Like I've been hearing everybody talk about how much you guys have been praising the record. Everybody's playing it now. So you guys have really pioneered that record. And I just wanted you know, for the climate right now, New Africa is something that just not even just more so the it's just the thought process.
Believe me, I know.
New Africa could be in the Brooklyn somewhere. You know what I'm saying? When your community come together and say, hey, we want to do some different things. So that's all it's about. And I appreciate you guys for
hey, we appreciate good music.
And we got a new single with Schoolboy Q coming, and I got another one with Kanye coming. So those are the ones we're gonna knock out the park.
Sahi the Prince, ladies and gentlemen.
Hey,